Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program today. It's the next frontier of sports training, and it doesn't rest with the body, but with the mind. In the new book by Brandon Sneed, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes, we get a mesmerizing tour of what seems to be the new frontier in performance enhancement. From neuroscience labs at Duke to the Super Bowl, the mountains of Patagonia, jungles of Peru and beyond, elite athletes around the world are already seeing incredible results. Stars like Steph Curry, Kerry Walsh Jennings, Russell Wilson, dozens of others are experimenting with this concept. Cutting-edge technology that may seem like it's right out of sci-fi movies. What they are finding, eye-opening, powerful, and in their words, life-changing. Head in the Game explores all of that and its implications not only for athletes, but for all of us. Kate Fagan, columnist for ESPNW, says Sneed pulls back the veil of one of the most important but least talked about aspects of sports, the mind. Brandon Sneed is an acclaimed author and journalist based in Greenville, North Carolina. A features writer for Bleacher Report's BR Mag. He's written for Outside, ESPN the Magazine, SB Nation Longform, CNN GQ, Pacific Standard, and more. His stories twice have been notable selections in Best American Sports Writing. Brandon Sneed, author of Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes, with us on This Week in America. Brandon, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, yeah, thank you for having me.
This is such a fascinating topic. For years, we grew up thinking that sports performance was basically genetics, peak physical enhancement of the body. And you've got to looking into this, and you had another idea, mental engineering. What was so fascinating about this topic for you?
I think it all boils down to a neuroscientist about a decade and a half ago realized, you know, that what we had thought for years wasn't true, which was that once we were adults, we were kind of set as whatever our personalities were or all that. And he then witnessed, you know, brains physically changing. And so that obviously changed a lot, had enormous implications in the medical field and in the world of science. And over the past 5-10 years, that's really started to take root in the world of sports as far as athletes, you know, kind of taking control of their minds and their brains, much in the way they started to take control of their bodies about a few decades ago.
And it's interesting, as you started looking into this, you didn't get a lot of callbacks. And when you did and you were ready, you set up an appointment to talk about it, a lot of them said, you know, after further consideration, I really don't want to get into this. It was rather difficult to open up this topic, wasn't it?
It was. And thankfully, I have noticed, you know, over the course of writing this and researching it, that over the past year or so, it started to shift a little bit. I've seen more about it in magazines and newspapers. But yeah, when I first started looking into this about 2 years ago, it was a very kind of hush-hush thing. I think it was just the competitive edge. You know, they were experiencing such profound results. They were a little bit wary of letting it out. But also, I think it was just scary. I mean, you talk about, you know, how you're making your mind better. You have to talk about why it wasn't as good as it could have been. And anything mental health-wise or anything like that has been a deeply uncomfortable topic for so long that people are still getting used to the idea of talking about it, I think.
And you were trying to put a handle on this topic. You ended up by calling it This Stuff. There were so many different aspects of it out there. You referred to everything that you were looking for as This Stuff. We're talking about the new book, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes, Brandon Sneed, with us on the program. His website is brandonsneed.com. Book is available all across the country, wherever books are sold, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You said you sort of stumbled upon some sort of like science fiction alternate universe. Talk about that. Were you surprised at what you, when it started unraveling for you and you were able to see what was going on out there? Was that surprising for you?
I think the most surprising thing was just connecting the dots and realizing it really was this whole movement. It wasn't just a few gimmicky or fringe weird things athletes were trying out. It was a real movement towards making the most out of their minds. You know, like I said, kind of how they started making the most out of their bodies a few decades ago. And it was really exciting and encouraging to me because, you know, frankly, I had some stuff I needed to work on mentally. I'd kind of turn myself into a guinea pig to try all this stuff, you know, and you know, it quickly became clear to me why these athletes are buying into it, because it works for them. But a lot of it really also would work for, you know, the ordinary person who doesn't have to be a world-class athlete day in and day out.
What's interesting because, and you talk in the book quite honestly about your situation. You were an athlete, wanted to be a professional baseball player. You talk about, I think it was the season working with the American Legion team, and the coach said, you've basically got all of the power and talent as strong as anybody that I've seen, but it's almost like you're afraid of it. So part of what you were looking at in terms of an athlete, so many athletes look at, was the mental part of it. Why mentally am I struggling with this?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I still struggle with that now in my new career, wondering, basically what's going to go wrong. It's kind of always worrying about that instead of enjoying the moment, instead of staying focused on what's going good right now, or just even what you need to do right now. I mean, and I think that that's common. A lot of us always get stuck on worrying about what could go wrong instead of just dealing with what's going on right now. And it was just really cool to see, because you hear that in psychology a lot, and I, certainly heard stuff along those lines when I was in college and trying to get out of my own head as a baseball player. But for me, and I think for a lot of athletes, these tools, this stuff, it brings it, into the physical world a bit. It makes it a lot more tangible, and I think that's really valuable for athletes. And then, I mean, just for people in general, is, the mind isn't this nebulous thing. It is, part of us and part of our brains, and we can do something about it.
When you finally were making some progress in finding out what was out there, this technology, this neuroscience that, as you said, is about a decade and a half old, you met with the Red Bull Director of High Performance, Dr. Andy Walsh. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Walsh, yeah.
Yeah. You meet with him, an interesting character, as you describe when you're meeting him.
Yeah, he's great.
And he, besides, and we'll get into the athletic aspect, but he's talking about this really has implication for all of humanity as well.
Yeah, and he said that's why he agreed to meet with me where so many kind of didn't, is because, they were doing some really cool things for their athletes and learning a lot that was helping them. But he really, saw what was happening as not just, an evolution in sports, but, a potential for evolution for all of us and, just a way as far as helping people get healthier. And I thought that was a really cool way to put it.
And you also talk with Andy Walsh, who is, or not Andy Walsh, you're talking with Dr. Gervais, who is a sports psychologist, works with the Seattle Seahawks, works with some athletes as well. A fascinating story, and well, the Seattle Seahawks is sort of at the cutting edge of this. Talk a little bit about what it was like meeting him and what he's been able to do with Pete Carroll and the Seahawks.
He is just a guy who's been, interested in this since he was young, and he's starting to, like many, performance psychologists, start to finally see his work pay off and work with, like you said, the Seahawks. He does a lot of work with, or he has done a lot of work with Red Bull. And it's just a matter of, him basically explaining, this psychology and these different ways to kind of get your mind right and keep your mind sharp to these world-class athletes and helping them do, these things that they work so hard to do physically. They put in so many hours physically to get good and get better and get stronger and healthier and all that with their body. That, until recently, as he puts it, they've kind of left their mind off the table. And he's now able to help them add that to their set of skills. Having their, mental skills is something they can consciously train every bit as much as their physical skills.
Talk about how they go about doing that. And there are a number of ways. You said one of the questions you had going in is how can you make the mind stronger? And you were surprised to find there were many answers to that question. This is not just the power of positive thinking. This is much deeper than that. What are some of the ways that athletes are able to use this? And you talk in the book that they got actually technology that allows athletes to look at their brains using their smartphones.
Yeah, that's called EEG. And that technology is the Versus headset. It's made by a company called Sense Labs, and it's a consumer version of a technology that's actually been around for decades. It reads your brain's electrical activity, and it can, pick that up as you're going through a test, and, basically tell you how good you are at focusing or staying calm and managing stress or how bad you are at it, and then give you essentially a training program to make those parts of your brain responsible for those skills, better at doing that. And it's really remarkable, and you really just do it by playing video games with your mind. It sounds crazy, but that's exactly what it is you hook it up, connect it to an iPad, and you get into this program, and whether you're, you know, racing a car, flying a glider, or whatever, it's all about how focused you are. You don't really do much else except sit there and think or not think or focus or whatever you have to do. And it's all depending on how well your brain is doing.
One of the examples you use in the book, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes, author, journalist Brandon Snead with us on the program, is the 2015 NFC title game between Green Bay and Seattle and Russell Wilson and how his mind was able to kick in. Just tell us a little bit about what happened during the course of that game and how this mind training really works.
He was just having a horrible game. I mean, you know, hadn't thrown for a touchdown, had thrown four interceptions. I mean, they were, you know, had a couple minutes left in the game, were down by, you know, a couple of scores, and then he ends up leading a few, you know, touchdown drives and a field goal drive and converting this wild two-point conversion with that had completely broken down, and he's dodging these massive, really fast, you know, defensive linemen and linebackers and such. And it was just, you know, despite how horrible the game had gone and the pressure and him being a second-year guy or third-year guy and, you know, having all these expectations that he was trying to live up to and all that, I mean, he still just stayed calm. And, I mean, he credits a lot of it to his mental training. He does a lot more of it openly than a lot of people. And one of his big tools among, you know, psychology work with Gervais and meditation and such is during the game he just, you know, visualizes a gigantic reset button that he hits after every play, and it helps keep him calm.
And Kerry Walsh Jennings, I mentioned she was one of the athletes. She's one who said this really has been life-changing for her. Talk a little bit about what she does and how this has made an impact on her, not only as an athlete, but as a person.
She was one who used that EEG stuff we were talking about, and she discovered that a few years ago when, as she puts it, you know, her life was kind of falling apart, her marriage was struggling, and she realized, you know, she was just, you know, going way too hard. She was way too intense, not only in training but at home. You know, she just wasn't able to calm her brain down when she got home, and so it was causing all kinds of stress, as you can imagine. And she does this EEG test, and it shows her brain, and she just freaks out because she loves it. You know, she can't believe, you know, that you can see your brain like this and that you can actually then do something about the parts that are, in her case, you know, way entirely too active when they need to be calm. And it, I mean, you know, her marriage is fine now. She went on to win a gold medal after that and then bronze this past year. And then, I mean, yeah, things are good.
All of these techniques you subjected yourself to, and you mentioned that you were looking for answers as well, and you found answers, and you end up the book talking about how this really made an impact in your life. You're playing wiffle ball with your wife, Kate, and your two-year-old son. She throws the ball, and you swing and miss, and normally you said that really would have bothered you, and you just laughed about it. So these techniques that you write about, they actually have a practical implication, don't they?
Oh, yeah, completely. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll still have days where I'm an idiot and I get too, you know, worked up over stuff, but it's a lot better now. And then, yeah, I mean, that day really stood up in my mind because it was, you know, sometime not long after I was getting done with all this research. And, I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, yeah, I mean, I'd be out there playing wiffle ball, goofing around my wife and kid, and if I wasn't doing, you know, well at a game we were playing, I mean, you know, in my mind I'm just going to start freaking out and getting way too tense and, you know, thinking just all kinds of crazy thoughts and just not enjoying myself. And, I mean, that day, you know, I did. And, you know, the rest of that scene, you know, plays out. She about strikes me out, and then I manage, because she's a great athlete herself, you know. And she, you know, and then the last, you know, ball she throws, I mean, it was just, I love the metaphor of it. She throws it, and I hit it, and the ball just, for whatever reason, just kind of exploded, and plastic went everywhere. And, you know, the nice fitting way to kind of wrap it up was, I mean, baseball and sports had, you know, caused me so much, you know, anxiety, and anxiety caused me so much pain in my life. And then just to watch it all kind of blow up for a minute was kind of cool.
You talk at the end of the book as well about how things have evolved. It wasn't that many years ago when you started talking about weight training, for example. A lot of athletes were reluctant to do that, especially in season, depending on the sport. And the team frowned upon that. Now, of course, that's accepted. Do you see something like that happening with the mental engineering aspect, that we're going to see more teams signing on and saying, you know, this, we push the body as far as we can. This really seems to be the new frontier.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I can't see the future or anything, obviously, but yeah, I mean, a few decades ago, you know, athletes were getting fined for working out in the off season. Now there's a weight room in every athletic facility. Oh, man, I really see this heading the same way. I'll be really surprised, you know, if it doesn't, but I'd be, you know, I would expect to see, you know, this just becoming more and more a part of athletic facilities. I mean, you know, rooms, you know, are already being, you know, basically built, called mine rooms that contain a lot of this stuff. And there's just, you know, enormous potential in it. And I just think that athletes and teams that are always looking for that extra edge will certainly be looking more into all of this as the years go by.
We see the NFL Combine going on and teams working people out and some people questioning, I that's wonderful, but I have no idea how that applies to the game. Will this concept revolutionize how teams and owners analyze athletes? Will that change, do you think?
Yeah, it already is. Some of these tools, one's called NeuroTracker, I know has been used at the NFL Combine. I'm not sure if it is this year or not, but it, you know, tests your cognitive flexibility and strength. It's a high-tech shell game on steroids, basically, that was designed by, you know, scientists at the University of Montreal originally to help, you know, an aging population strengthen their cognitive abilities and get better at driving or their memory. And now it's, you know, having profound effects on athletes, and it kind of does what the Wonderlic wishes it could do as far as testing football players, you know, mental acuity. And, yeah, I know the Boston Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts in particular, you know, he started doing what they called neurotraining, which is using as kind of a mashup of that EEG we've been talking about and a pitch simulation program on an iPad or a laptop that, you know, judges your reaction speed and then can help you train it up. And he got really into that, and now he's one of the, you know, better athletes or the better outfielders in the league.
I mentioned maybe we've maxed out or come close to that point with what physically we can do for the body. Is that true after the research you've done? Have we pushed that about as far as we can?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's case by case in a lot of, you know, situations. But, you know, the scientists I've talked to have said, I mean, well, one, just look at, you know, great athletes. I mean, you know, the best ones are all in peak physical condition. But as far as how far physical training can take you, you take them and put them in a lab, you know, they're going to test with a, you know, a couple percentage points of each other, you know, on everything. And so really the next place to learn, you know, is the mind, is the mental side. You know, physical trainers know pretty much all that they can do for athletes physically. You know, the different methods are always evolving and shifting, but our knowledge is kind of, you know, been tapped out on the physical side. And so the mind is kind of the next spot to start looking when it comes to training and improving and getting better.
With us on This Week in America, author, journalist Brandon Snead, author of the new book, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes. BrandonSnead.com is the website. Link on directly, of course, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is available all across the country. And mentioning some of the star athletes, I threw Steph Curry's name out there. Most people would say, boy, this guy's got everything going for him. What an amazing talent. What has he experimented with, and what has he found in terms of using the mental engineering, the mental training?
For him, it's kind of an overall philosophy. His trainer has coined this term neurocognitive efficiency, and it's basically the idea is keeping the brain and the mind in mind as you're training. And so to that end, he uses strobe goggles, for instance, that, you know, will obscure his vision, flashing different speeds and different rhythms as he's doing dribbling drills or shooting drills or what have you. And he also uses sensory deprivation pods and chambers, which is you get into, you know, this tank full of water and Epsom salt, which helps you float in the water, and you close the door and you're basically in the pitch black, no physical sensation. It's great for your body. I mean, the magnesium and the salt's great for your sore muscles. And then, you know, the simple, you know, act of lying in complete darkness with no physical sensation for an hour or however long is really amazing for your mind, too. Because, I mean, especially in this world with just constant stimulation, for your mind to get that kind of a conscious break is really powerful for it.
And I'm assuming we're sort of at the early stages, the early part of experimenting in terms of the scientific aspect of this, the wearable devices, for example. You talk about the transcranial direct current stimulation, which actually shocks the brains. I talk about being able to look at your brain through the smartphone. Are we just now scratching the surface of what's available to us?
I think so. That's kind of how Andy Walsh ends it with me, and how, in, you know, one of the last scenes in the book is talking with him about, you know, for all this, you know, epic quest and all these crazy things athletes are doing, I mean, he says we know 1% of what's knowable probably when it comes to performance, and particularly, you know, performance of the brain, because the brain's the most complex object in the known universe, right? So it's pretty hard to know how much farther this can go. You know, it's going to be fun to see what's coming next. And, like, I kind of wrote this book with that in mind, is, you know, this is sort of a collection of where everything is starting, from virtual reality to, you know, the different, you know, brain training games, to that electrical stimulation, to even, you know, guys experimenting with psychedelic drugs to find peace and to avoid panicking during big moments and stuff. You know, that's something that scientists are studying on a clinical level too. I mean, so as far as where we're going, yeah, we're absolutely, I think, at the beginning of something really fun and crazy.
What kind of response are you getting to Head in the Game, especially from athletes?
I haven't heard much from athletes yet. It just came out about a week ago. So still waiting. I think it's going to take, you know, a minute for people to kind of digest it. It's a lot going on in there. But, you know, the coaches, you know, I've heard from a few coaches and heard from a few, you know, journalists who know some athletes, and they all seem really excited about it. And I think they like just, you know, knowing what everybody else is up to, because it kind of, like I said, just kind of covers the gamut of this whole revolution happening. And I'm excited to see what people have to say about it moving forward.
Was there ever a point where you almost stopped the research on the book? I mentioned at the beginning that you were getting a lot of closed doors and you weren't getting anywhere for a long period of time. And then suddenly you start talking to the right people and you start getting the information. Were you close to saying maybe there's nothing here that I'm going to be able to report about?
No, I really wasn't. I just knew I just had to find a way into it. But I mean, it became clear early on, just, you know, as I was doing my initial research, that there was something definitely that needed to go into a book here. It was more the main challenge is finding enough, you know, people to open up to me about it, really. And that was just a matter of kind of just grinding it out. And then once people started hearing a little bit of my own story, I think that helped open up a lot, because they knew, like, I wasn't just kind of trying to take advantage of them for the sake of a book or anything. They knew it was, you know, personal too, because, you know, I wanted to help myself. I wanted to be able to help my son, you know, when he was older, if he needed some help. And, you know, just the idea that it can help people in general was really exciting to me. And I think once people saw that, it helped.
You said the book left you giddy with wonder and hope for what's coming next, not only in sports, but for all of us. And I'll end like where we began talking about this. Not only is a sports book, it's something that we all should pay attention to, because it can change our lives.
Yeah, it can. You know, especially with the world just seems crazy now.
Yes.
You know, somebody, you know, recently put it to me, it's like we're almost all starting to live in a Jerry Springer episode, which that, you know, that doesn't feel inaccurate some days. And I just think, I mean, if people just, you know, were, you know, a little bit more willing to look at, you know, their weak spots in their mind and just kind of do something about them, obviously it would help. But I think it would also give us a lot of empathy and, you know, compassion for other people too. I know it has for me. And I mean, look, again, just want to reiterate, you know, I'm still, you know, a mess. Some days, most of us are, we always will be.
Yes.
But I just think that there's a lot of good that can come from understanding how the mind and the brain works, because it is kind of what drives us around and what causes a lot of our problems. And so just being aware of it first off is really powerful, but then knowing what we can do about it, I mean, it's nothing like that's ever been possible before. And so I just think once people can get their heads wrapped around it, it can do some pretty cool things.
It's an excellent and important book, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes. With us on the program, the author, journalist Brandon Snead. Book is available all across the country, wherever books are sold. You'll find information at his website, brandonsnead.com. You can link on and get all that information, of course, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Brandon, I loved having a chance to read the book and talk about it with you on the program today. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Same. Anytime. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Once again, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering, The World's Greatest Athletes, Brandon Snead, the author. You're listening to This Week in America. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.